proud to see how God's been working in their lives. And Tanya and I have seen it from a different stance, and it's touched both of our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Capps.
Surprise. I did have notes, so I'm going to try to keep them. But a friend of mine gave me a book, and I'm not much of a reader. I tend to watch the videos or the movie. But Dee Dee gave me this book, a friend of mine, Dee Dee, and it has a lot to do with the Crimson Tide. I'm a big Tide fan. Those of you may or may not know that. But there's a little insert in there, and I actually wrote the author to make sure it was okay for me to share it, because you never know, they might get upset about it. And I actually wrote the author, and I asked, and they said, absolutely. But it starts out, Mark chapter 5, verse 18 through 19. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much has had mercy on you. So if you think back in Crimson Tide history to January 1st, 1966, Miami, Florida, the Orange Bowl, the stage was set and everybody knew what to expect now. Number one, ranked Michigan State lost in the Rose Bowl, and number two, Arkansas was defeated in the Cotton Bowl earlier in the day. Alabama was ranked fourth by the Associated Press and had a legitimate chance to win the national championship before the day was over, but Nebraska was ranked third at the time, was in the way. The Crimson Tide, under the direction of Coach Paul Bear Bryant, posted a regular season record of 8-1-1, which wouldn't work nowadays, right? A one-point loss to Georgia on opening weekend and a tie with Tennessee were the team's only blemishes. But new life had been breathed into them, and the game mattered more now than ever. Alabama scored first on a 32-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Steve Sloan to Ray Perkins to take a 7-0 lead. Nebraska countered with a 33-yard touchdown pass. The Tide rolled back and scored again and claimed a 14-7 lead, increasing their advantage to 24-7 at the half, thanks to another score from the Sloan-Perkins duo and added field goal, which we get better at as years go on. The Cornhusker answered again to begin the third quarter with a 49-yard touchdown. The game was like a heavyweight boxing match, back and forth, as both teams countered back and forth on the scoreboard. Bama continued to lead 39-20 once again. Nebraska came back again and scored on a touchdown pass, but that's as close as they would ever get. And Alabama knocked off Nebraska to win that Orange Bowl that day. After the game, the Associated Press put Alabama at number one spot and awarded them the 1965 national championship, and the choice was obvious. However, some other selectors for the title, including the UPI, which is the United Press International, recognized Michigan State along with Alabama as national champions. But the final AP poll was the one that mattered, and it listed the Tide at the top. Alabama won the outright title and did not wish to share it with anyone. But as Christians, there's something we are expected to share, and that's our testimony. Others need to hear it, and telling your redemption story will put you at the top of their game. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, and make known among the nations what he has done. My question to you today is, do you like to share your faith with others? Are you hesitant at times to tell the Lord or tell about the Lord and his grace, or do you feel uncomfortable taking a stand with a group of non-believers? This can be intimidating, but ask God for courage and stand against the devil as he encourages you to hold your tongue. People who are unsaved need to hear the gospel, and they need to see it in you. When you have a wonderful life experience, most of the time you tell everybody that you know on social media. You can't wait to share it. If your son hits a home run, you immediately take a picture of it and post it on Facebook, the TikTok, whatever you call it, take a video, pop it up. You're proud, and that's great. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, but you should take the same approach to your Christian testimony. You don't need to be brash or condemning, but you need to let your light shine. And here are some reasons why. Number one, your story is unique. Your experience is owned by you alone. And if you overcame a tragedy in life, or if you were raised in the church and you know right from wrong, you know, your story is one of a kind. And as Michael said earlier today, everybody in this room is wired just a little bit different, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but it is amazing. And there was a time when you needed a Savior, and you realized that, and He came to your rescue, and you should tell others about that with a smile. God tells us to share, and this one is cut and dry. I can't really argue this point at all. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Third thing is sharing your testimony emboldens you and gives you courage. Practice does make perfect. I can't tell you how many times I practiced this speech in the mirror. My dog knows it word for word. The more you share your testimony with others, the more comfortable you feel talking about it, and it becomes part of your personal identity. You inspire others. You never know what people are searching for in the world. What you say to someone about God's grace might be exactly what they needed to hear at that specific moment. People love to hear an inspirational message, and it might encourage someone in need of search of the Savior just like you did that day. And lastly, your testimony glorifies the Lord, and this is the best reason that's on this piece of paper. Your testimony magnifies and praises God for His goodness to you. And when you describe your story, make sure you tell everyone who listens about how it changed your life for the better. Don't dwell on your past. Rather, make a point to tell everyone how you needed your life to go in that right direction. Make sure they know it can happen for them too. A testimony should be positive, it should be heartfelt, and it should be genuine. Most of all, it should lift up in the name of the Lord. Many college football enthusiasts recognize Alabama won that national championship that day in 1965, but you might receive another opinion from a Michigan State fan. Nonetheless, the AP deemed the Tide the best that year, and they're not willing to share the crown with anybody. You, on the other hand, have no excuse to keep the God's goodness to yourself, so you should share it. Anybody in this building that knows me knows that I'm just a little bit different. Talk to my wife. If you do not know, she'll be glad to give you notes. My former belief in the church was not very big at all. I didn't have a problem with it. I just didn't believe. I thought it was, in so many words, I thought it was silly. My son started going to church and would go to church with his grandma, LaDon, that's just here. He would go all the time, and then we have a river place down here, and one day Jordan just got up and just went to church by himself. Left me and Ronna sitting in the house. He was like, "All right, cool. Jordan, go to church. Go ahead, buddy. Have a good time. Tell us about when you get back." And then Ronna started going to church with Jordan and left me at the house. So I'm sitting there watching the show that comes on every day, Ridiculousness, it comes on every day. So I'm by myself, and then he told me that, "Dad, I'm going to get something. I think y'all were giving away Bibles," I believe is what it was. I said, "Well, there's not many dads that's not going to go to church and see their son get something, right?" So I came to church, and I came here, and as soon as I walked in the door, I felt at home. I mean, I didn't necessarily have my own seat. I think I sat over here, and I didn't know where to go. I just went and sat down. And then we did church, and it was very, very nice, and we appreciated it. And I got in the car, and I asked Ron, I was like, "Is it normal to cry at church?" Ron was like, "I don't know. Maybe it's something different." I mean, I was embarrassed, and I was like, "Oh, my God, I'm crying. I'm a grown man. I shouldn't be doing this." And all the way home, I'm wiping my tears. I'm like, "All right, maybe I just allergies or something in my eye." But you know what? I started I felt at home, and I started coming back. And I think I've missed like 3 days since that day. And a couple of days I had to go fry chicken, you know. But I was watching on the YouTube thing the next day and so forth. But one day in July, I was actually sitting in the middle, and actually nobody is sitting in that spot. So be careful if you sit right there in the middle of that pew. I was standing up and singing, and well, I was listening to Trey sing actually, and I was mouthing kind of the Milli Vanilli type stuff. I just started to cry uncontrollably. I mean, just tears just pouring down my face. And I looked to the left at Ronan, and I looked at Jordan. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. And Tim was sitting next to us, and Tim looked over at Ronan and went, I know what's going on. And that was the day that I accepted Jesus Christ in my life. I didn't know what was going on. Michael come down, and thank you, Michael. Michael waited for everybody to leave the church and sat there with me. And there's many examples now that you see it, now that you accepted it. There's a whole kind of neat stuff that happens in your life because you accepted Jesus Christ in your life. I was burning my yard the other day. We'll just say burning a small section. But it turned into a much larger section of my yard. And before I know it, the yard is burning to the left and burning to the right. And I'm running around with a water hose. And of course, the water hose is not long enough. And I start freaking out. But would you know, that particular day on this planet, that there was a 200-acre forest fire right down the street. Isn't that right?
It was across the street.
Well, across the street. It was up by Michael's house, by the way. But fire truck after fire truck after fire truck was going down our road. And one guy saw me in a little running. And a guy from the Booth Volunteer Fire Department stopped, backed up, and pulled up into the yard and said, "Do you need my help?" I said, "Absolutely. If you had some water in that truck, I sure would appreciate if you put my yard out." But when does that happen? I mean, why did that happen that day? And the other thing that's kind of weird, and I could list on and on and on, but we could be here all day, but our preacher lives right across the street from me. Coincidence? I think not. But I finally realized, you know, I'm different, but that's okay. I want to reach out to people that are different just like I am. There's a lot of people that maybe come to church and worship in their different way, and they worship how they worship. But you know what? That's all right. Believe it or not, as today shows me with my two friends, a lot of my friends are just like me. There's a lot of people out there that are different just like me. There are also some of you that come to our church that cry and don't understand what it meant. It may be too proud to ask the question, why? What is that? So I don't think it's tears of sadness or pain, or I really think it's washing the sins out of your body. You know, it's coming out, and trust me, I do a lot of crying because there's a lot of things that, you know, need to come off my heart, and that's good. But that's the sign that I never understood. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it was doing. I didn't know why it was doing that. But each day that I come into this house, I feel it a little bit more, and I understand a little bit more. So if you find yourself feeling this way, it's okay. Don't feel embarrassed. Don't be intimidated. Ask the question, and you will find your answer, because he will answer your question. He answered a non-believer guy like me. I promise you that once you answer that question, you will become a better person. You can be a better father. You can be a better husband. Just remember, it's okay to be different, and you can do it in your own way, because I do. That's all I got.
Sunday school is right afterwards, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Thank y'all for all, thank you to Ms. Kim, all